The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now live, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
And thank you so much for being along on this, the last day of 2018. How about that? Gary and Eric will be back with you Tuesday night. And if you want to catch up with me during the week, I do Afternoon Drive at News Talk 820 WDAP out of Dallas. Love to have you along. Well, Bob Constantini, he took a look at 2018 where immigration's concerned.
2018, year in review, immigration. Building a border wall was a year-long goal of President Trump's, and for several months at the end of the year, a caravan of Central American migrants brought a warning.
You look at what's marching up, that's an invasion.
The president sent thousands of active duty military to help the border patrol man legal entry points.
They have to. They're going to use lethal force. I've given the okay.
Critics charge Mr. Trump with creating a midterm election crisis out of the caravan. The administration ended so-called catch and release, meaning anyone entering the U.S. illegally would be arrested and held. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen.
We believe that most of the caravan members will make frivolous or unsubstantiated claims of asylum.
For weeks, a policy of separating children from parents at the border was debated.
This is not normal. In fact, it's barbaric.
Democratic House Leader Nancy Pelosi. With Democrats ready to take over the House, the president threatened a partial government shutdown in what might be his last best chance to get wall funding. I'm Bob Costantini.
And thanks to Westwood One News, Bob Costantini, always a great report. I'm sorry. You know, I've been to school a day or two. I'm still trying to figure out Nancy Pelosi. Her statements just don't make sense to anybody that's rational. You know, the wall is immoral. Okay, what's that mean? You want open borders and allow anyone to come in? Well, then what do you say to the legal residents of America if you do that, including all the immigrants that came here through the proper channels? What, they were just dopes for abiding by the law? Because I'm sorry, I just don't get it. By the way, the media, and I know I'm a part of the media, but the media's nonstop focus on the families with children, and I know some of the stories are heartbreaking. It's tough, especially if you're a parent. But what the media is doing is deceptive. Fake news? Yeah, it's a real deal. You know, the photos of the march clearly show the bulk of the so-called asylum seekers are young, working-age men. They're not seeking asylum. They're seeking jobs. And poverty is not a reason for asylum. An unknown number are criminals. We don't know that. We know MS-13 is sort of woven in among them. You know, this has all happened before, by the way. Remember March? Was it February or March? A similar caravan headed our way, organized and pushed by far left open border groups. A lot of people say Soros is involved. I don't know. He's probably in this. You're never going to tie anything to Soros. He's got so many umbrella groups, you never make the connection. But the U.S. and Mexico teamed together then to stop the caravan. This time it's bigger and the stakes are a lot higher. This is not a human rights issue, Nancy. All of those who wish to can already apply for asylum or visas or residence. No one's there to stop them. We're pro-immigration in this country. Look around. But we're pro-legal immigration. And that's a distinction that, for whatever reason, Pelosi and Schumer and Warren and everybody else won't make. I know it might cost them a vote or two. But people may not enter the country illegally. That's the law. They want to apply for asylum, nobody's going to stop them from doing that. You know, it's time we take our border seriously. And all you elected officials that are up late listening to this talk show host, you know, there's a reason why I don't have a line of politicians ringing the building where I do the afternoon show, because I don't give a soapbox for a bunch of corporate bottom liners. I try to ask the same questions that the people sitting, listening in the radio, sitting at the stoplight would ask. And you guys don't want to answer those questions. You know, we have to start taking our border seriously, or we're going to end up like those countries in Europe and the Mideast who find their entire nation no longer governable. They can't govern it. Any president has as one of his main jobs is to protect the border. Trump is doing just that, as he should be doing. So why is this a political issue? It shouldn't be. It's a security issue, to be sure. But why is it a political issue? It's a political issue because they absolutely hate Donald Trump. So why do these people keep making this trip? Obviously, they're being aided by someone. One, Orlando Hernandez, told him that the caravan had been organized by leftist organizations and financed by Venezuela. So meanwhile, the UN is committing resources to the caravan. They got medical trucks and they've got the food trucks. And in essence, do you know what this is? They're using your taxpaying money to fund a violation of our own border. In case you missed that, since the UN is now committing resources to the caravan, in essence, they're using U.S. taxpayer money to fund a violation from our own country's border. That way, the U.S. can join all the other countries with a mass immigration problem. Wouldn't that be nice? Because Lord knows we don't have enough problems as it is. You know, a priority for the UN, that's their refugee agency, which has mobilized extra staff and resources to help these people make the journey. Here's where I come down. I told you about Billy, right? Lived at Lake Tahoe, regular listener. It was a sad situation. He was a vet. He couldn't get in to see the specialist at the VA, and by the time he did, it was too late. And he called me up. As a matter of fact, I've got that recording in my sound archives. And I could tell just by what he was saying, something was about to go really wrong. And I pleaded with him and talked with him. And this was all live on the air. And, you know, I got my producers to, hey, we got to get somebody there, something bad. It was too late. By the time the sheriff's deputy showed up, Billy had taken his own life with a gun. There's no reason for that. And you want to talk to me about more refugees? We've still got vets living under bridges. We've still got vets in need of psychological and physical help. We've still got vets that are eating out of a soup line someplace. And you want to talk to me about taking more refugees in? Look, I'm a big-hearted guy. I believe in God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And, man, I know how to hit my knees. But my common sense says, wait a minute, these guys, through the grace of God, made it home out of harm's way. And now the United States isn't lifting up their part of the bargain? I mean, that should be a national outrage. We knew that the VA had two sets of books. Yeah, don't get me going on that. I'll be talking about it all night. Like I said, this is the last live show for 2018, so we want to try to get as many of you in there as we possibly can. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 1-866-907-3339. Let's go to Elvis in New York. Elvis, thank you for waiting. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call. I could relate with what you say about there's a lot of immigrants that may hate those immigrants that come illegal. I am an immigrant. I'm 41 years old. My father came to this country legally, and I was just like 3 years old. I did not see my father until I was 10 years old. Why? Because he was working hard on this country to bring us for a better life, because this is the great country in the world, for bring us to a better life, to make something out of ourselves. I say to myself, it's not fair for a family like us spend all this time with our pops, and then other people just come here easily, you know, without spending anything, without, you know, sacrifice. No sacrifice, no victim.
No, well, that's one. Elvis, that's exactly what I said earlier. if you want to talk to people that are more outraged about illegals coming into this country with no penalty, talk to the people like yourselves, immigrants that came here, abided by the law, didn't, the first thing you did when you stepped on American soil was not break the rule of law. You're more upset than most people, and you should be. You should be. You waited your turn, you waited in line, you paid your fee. Do I think the immigration process could be reformed? Probably so, but that's no excuse to just ignore it, and especially if you're one of the two primary political parties in this country. Since when is national security a political hot potato for a political party, Republicans or Democrats or apolitical? You know, this isn't a humanitarian issue. It's not a civil rights issue. It's a security issue. The same reason you have a door on your home and that door locks is the same reason why you need a border where people can come through, you can vet them, find out who they are, what they want, what's going on. Why is this so difficult to understand? It's not difficult to understand for rational people. You don't have to have a college education to figure this out. You know, the media working hand in glove with Pelosi et al., what they are doing, show look at this poor mother and this poor baby. Yeah, your heart breaks for these people, but that's not what this is. You know, coming here to get a job is not a reason to grant asylum. There's still people in this country that need a job. Yeah, that's not valid for asylum request. Well, I can't find a job in Honduras, so I thought I'd come up. Oh, sorry, we don't grant asylum for people looking for work. I don't know what else to tell you. So why are they using this? They're using it as a political point of leverage. If they can get, when I say they, I'm talking about the media, I'm talking about the Democrats, if they can get enough of you thinking, oh my God, Trump is evil incarnate, it's Satan's spawn at the White House, look at what he's doing to all these innocent men, women, and children, oh my God, I got to vote for a Democrat. That's exactly what's going on here. They don't care about your security, they don't care about your safety, they don't care about the sanctity of a nation, they care about one thing, and one thing only, keeping their seat at the table of power in the nation's capital for as long as they can. That's it. All of them? No, not all of them. Nothing is 100%, 100% of the time. But enough of them that they control the agenda. They control the narrative. Does that make sense to you? Any of you? I don't think it does. This is Rick Roberts on Red Eye Radio.
In winter weather, your drive tires can be a big factor in keeping you safe on the road. Drive tires put in serious work to support your truck, provide stability, and to give traction and braking force to the road surface. As with other positions, drive tires should be inspected regularly. Routinely check your inflation levels based on your load. Also check for wear patterns and for cracking and bulging. Drive tires can slip because of the torque applied from the axle, resulting in more exposure to damage from cuts and tears. Lastly, make sure your axles are aligned and if necessary, have your tires balanced and rotated periodically. Before you hit the road for your next route, take the time to inspect your drive tires. If you have any doubt in their ability to handle the road ahead, stop into a TA Truck Service to talk to one of our tire experts.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. Thank you so much for being along. The talk line's 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 1-866-907-3339. How do you feel being a political bargaining chip? You know, there was a point in time when elected officials, at least more so than they do now, viewed us as more than a vote on election day, viewed us as more than a tax check in the month of April, to fund whatever goofy, wrong-headed thing they had in mind to keep constituency behind them. It's not, they don't even pretend anymore. Don't even pretend. Let's go to Valerie in Nashville. Valerie, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Valerie?
I'm doing well, thank you, and thanks to David for putting me through. I appreciate it.
You bet.
I'll tell you something right off is that you are a breath of fresh air.
Well, thank you.
I really mean that. You're welcome. I have not called a radio station in a long time, and I appreciate you so much. I'll try to just encapsulate this as best I can, but I was raised by intellectual atheists. And so I was taught to really reason with my mind, but it was on a liberal level. And starting in about, it was really with George, you know, H.W. that I started seeing, he started talking about, you know, sort of the world order and all this stuff. Then I saw everything deteriorate from there. And I ran into all kinds of experiences at work and whatever. I won't go into all that. But, you know, part of the reason that Trump was elected is that people are fed up. But a lot of that, you know, a lot of that vote came from Christians. And the thing about we Christians is we can be very passive.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons that the whole thing was.
Excuse me for a second, Valerie. You said you were raised by intellectual atheist, but then you just referred to yourself as a Christian. So what are you now?
What I mean is I made the transformation.
Good.
It's what I'm saying is through the years, I realized that that's not where I wanted to be. But the point of all that is that I was raised to think and not feel.
Correct.
Unfortunately, that was devoid of true reasoning because, you know what intellectuals do. You know what we do. We just kind of, you know, work our way through it and you know, dismiss a lot of stuff in the name of reasoning. You know, that's how my brother got into the climate change and, you know, all this stuff that is really fake news. And he has now written me out of his life. And I have no contact with any of my nieces and nephews because I am a creepy right person.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's a heartbreaker. You know, it's really difficult. But as soon as I started voicing my concerns at the very beginning of that, he was just saying, well, you know, I'm not going to drink that Kool-Aid. And as time went on, things became worse and worse. And he's sort of the Antifa professor, all that crap right now. I guess what I want to say is that I think that one of the first things that everybody can do, and it's bold and it's scary, but just simply say no. With this PC crap, I'm going to call you what you are. I am not going to come up with what you decide you want to be called.
No,
and the other thing, too, is,
that's a good point.
Well, you know, really, I think that's kind of where it starts because that's a little bite, really, that we can do is to just simply say, you know what, you know, you're not it, you know, she Zed, he Zed, whatever, you know, you are who you are, and that's what I'm going to acknowledge, and I'm not going to roll over to make you feel better.
Valerie, I'm glad to hear you made the transformation. I you know, I believe in God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I am absolutely no poster boy for Christianity. But I will say this. I could have been a better Christian throughout my younger life. You know, I try my best every single day. But what being a Christian does for you, and you've probably already experienced this, it allows you to filter out following men rather than following God. No matter what they say, whether it's something you want to hear, something you don't want to hear, you have this built-in filter that I don't follow men. They are fallible. I follow something I believe to be infallible. So, great call. Very much appreciate that call. Please don't be a stranger, all right? I'd like to hear from you again. All right, you ready? Red Eye Radio at 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. I'm Rick Roberts. You know what this is. This is Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts.
And thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be in for the guys when they're away, especially on the last show of 2018. Gary and Eric will be back with you live Tuesday evening, so please, please don't miss that. Let's go to Bob in Southampton, New York. Bob, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, Rick. I have an analogy or a question to ask Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. If I had a big bowl of M&Ms, okay, and I told you this is a big bowl of M&Ms and you loved M&Ms, but one of the M&Ms were tainted, how many would you eat? Because that's what they're presenting to the American people. They're telling us that they, well, look at all these great M&Ms in here. And we keep on saying that there are some in there that are tainted with cyanide, and we don't want to eat them, but they keep on pushing them on our side of the table. Also, I have another analogy for immigration, and I'd just like to share it with you. I didn't make it up, but I heard it someplace. I don't remember where. Everybody asks, and many talk show hosts talk about, what do you expect from government? You know, what do you want them to do? And my analogy is they're like the contractors that build a house. They build a house to spec, and the spec would be the Constitution of the United States. And they're supposed to take care of things along those plans. Now, in our case, we have a leaky roof. The roof leaks, and over the years, it's just a little bit of a leak, and it just ruins a little bit of the sheetrock. But after a while, it starts ruining the carpeting and going downstairs, and now it's got black mold on it, and it's killing people. Okay, that's the immigration type of analogy, where the water gets in, people ignore it for years, and now it's got to the point where it's dangerous. Okay, and as a conservative, I'd like to say that I'm also a compassionate conservative. I don't blame the water for wanting to come in, and this is what we have right now. We have a situation where the water has come in, and it has destroyed things, and it's made people sick, and it's ruining our country. But you don't fix the rugs and the sheetrock until you fix the roof.
Yeah.
So Trump is right. The American people who voted him in are right. We've got to fix the roof, which is the border, and we've got to stop the water from coming in. I don't blame the water. Trump doesn't blame the water. I don't think conservative talk show hosts blame the water. But the water's got to be stopped before it ruins everything and destroys the country.
Yeah, I think if there's blame to be placed, it's on those people that have the authority, the wherewithal to fix the roof and choose not to for political purposes.
Right. And they kick the can down the road till the next group comes in, till the next group comes in, until the next group comes in.
Exactly.
Well, the next group is here. His name is Donald J. Trump. And he's not kicking the can down the road. And I think that the Democrats are going to pay the price for it. I think politically, I think the people who voted Mr. Trump into office are going to rear their heads again in the next election. And I think you're going to see it's all going to turn south for the Democrats.
Well, let me ask you something, Bob. As a guy that immerses himself in this stuff every day, 5 days a week, usually six, even though I'm only on the air five, for the last 20-odd years, I have some very real concerns about this upcoming election, primarily because of how the Democrats have hitched their wagon to the socialist movement and the fact that millennials believe socialism is the best thing they've ever heard of, even though they don't really know what it is. Do you really feel, and I suppose, do you really think intellectually it's going to be bad for Democrats in 2020?
Yeah, I really do. I really do, because millennials grow up. Okay, every year they get older, and every year they get wiser. I always tell my kids, I have kids and grandkids, the older you get, the smarter I get.
Yeah, that's true.
And every year they're going to grow up, and they're going to find out more and more how their degree in, you know, Aborigine dancing is not going to get them a job making $55,000 a year. Okay, I can relate personally to that. I have relatives who have those degrees or degrees, you know, environmental science, et cetera, et cetera. And again, there's going to be a reckoning. And by the way, it's all about the money. Okay.
Of course.
When the millennials get out there in the street and they realize what's going on, 2020 seems like it's right around the corner. But every day they get older and every day they get more responsibility. I still think the largest voice in this country are the people who voted last election for the president of the United States. And I really believe that. I send money to, because I do believe that. And everybody I speak to, I'm in a retail food business, and I speak to 400 people a day. And if the conversation turns to politics, I speak the same way. And I live in a blue state. This is New York. Okay. It's a blue state, but I live in Suffolk County, which was red for the election.
Right.
So I understand the dynamic of election politics and how things can turn and how things can move. But Nancy Pelosi, I mean, I have friends who are liberal Democrats, okay? And I understand their mentality. Their mentality and why they're so mad at Donald Trump is one reason and one reason only. They believe that they can imagine the ending of a story, like going into a movie, okay? And then in an hour and 25 minutes, it gets resolved. And they walk out of the movie feeling, oh, that was great. You know, the boy meets girl, boy loses girl. Boy then meets girl again, and everybody's happy at the end. They have that mentality where everything works out at the end. They hate Donald Trump because their idea was that Hillary would be the president.
Okay, oh,
she'd be the first woman president.
Normally, in elections past, you know, the defeated party licks its proverbial wounds, goes back, re-messages, and tries to come up with a better candidate. For all intents and purposes, Democrats are still reliving election night 2016. They won't let it go. And they can't do anything else on behalf of those that voted for them. They're paralyzed by fear, in a sense. They can't represent their constituents because they are absolutely obsessed, in every sense of the word, with defeating President Trump. Even though he's already the president. It's very good call, Bob. I appreciate that very, very much. Happy New Year to you. Let's go to Charles in Crosby, Texas. Charles, thanks for waiting. How you doing, Charles?
Hello, Rick. Great show. The thing that a lot of people don't realize is this has been building for decades. And unfortunately, unless you lived through the 60s and you saw what was happening then, you don't really get much information. Our education industry is totally a propaganda mill. The reality is everything that we're getting from the media and the politicians is a pack of lies. We don't have any statesmen who do what's right for the country. They know that half of this stuff that they spew out is pure nonsense. They're just throwing out anything and everything. The problem is they had a party. The people who wanted cheap labor, the people who wanted the votes, the people who were making money off the welfare system, they were just in Fat City until this stranger, this interloper, came along and turned their party into a nightmare. It isn't Donald Trump personally, and it's really not even Donald Trump. It's what he's doing and the people who are supporting him that they're frantic about. If Donald Trump were doing what they wanted him to do, they'd be patting him on the head. The reality is they hate us, and they hate the fact that we're busting up their party, and they hate the leader of this group of renegades who are trying to retake our country, and that just happens to be Donald Trump. The reality is there are so many people with their fingers in the cookie jar that's where all the, problems coming from. You know, it isn't the one Pablo who's trying to come here to make a buck that's the problem. The problem is the out-of-control welfare system. The problem is the unscrupulous people who want the cheap labor because they're only paying for part of the cost. The rest of the cost is being borne by society in crime, in medical care, in education. 98% of the enrollment in HISD today is Hispanic. Now, how did that happen? You know, I mean, we literally are just a few months or years away from Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio turning completely blue. And once they get control of those three cities,
it's done.
The state of Texas is gone. Yeah. I mean, we're literally on the razor's edge right now.
And the reason that is so, and I think it was evidenced better by the Beto O'Rourke Senate run than anything else. He raised, what was it, $88 million. Most of that coming from the Hollywood elite, the political elite. Most people didn't even know who he was unless they lived in El Paso. But he raised more money for a Senate run than's ever been raised in the nation's history. Well, what does that tell you? He's a good guy? He rides a skateboard really well? No. It tells you that Democrats are making a concerted effort to turn the state of Texas blue because of the electoral votes here, California, New York, and so on. If they can ever turn Texas blue, they've got a lock on the White House, period. It's just that simple. Very, very good, well-thought-out call. I appreciate it greatly. You know, I've got something coming up here that's going to scare you to death, or it should. A lot has been said tonight about, you know, who's responsible. Well, I can tell you right now, it's government. It's not you. I think you can throw in the mix unscrupulous employers that are more concerned about the almighty buck than they are the security, safety, and sanctity of a country and their fellow Americans. But government is in a position to do something every single day, and they do nothing. Nothing. You know, before you send the black Suburbans over for a little chat, prove me wrong. What's been done? You know, that horrid disease called selective democratic amnesia, where they forget what they said a few years back because it doesn't work for them politically now. We're not stupid. You know, granted, the American people were fat, happy, lazy, complacent, apathetic for a long time. And unless it occurred on our own front porch, we really didn't care. But that giant is now awake, rubbing its eyes, looking around, going, what happened? This is what happens every time, not just in the U.S. And I'm no world historian, but I can read. Every country that doesn't hold their government, whatever form of government it is, in check, always goes through the same cycle. They implode from within due to loose fiscal policies. And we're no different. You know, we're going to lose this whole thing if we don't come together, make the right choices in the 2020 election and beyond. Beyond. For the sake of your children and their children. You know, I never thought it would get to the point where we're actually electing socialists in this country to hold elected office. That's insane. Your call straight ahead. This is Rick Roberts on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for the guys, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. This is the last show of 2018, so I'm going to try to get as many of you as I possibly can on the air. You never know. We may have to, replay one of those one of these days, and you'll hear your own voice. And the guys, they're going to be back with you Tuesday night. Gary and Eric will be back with you live Tuesday night, and I know they're looking forward to it. By the way, if you're looking for a list of stations that carry the show, podcast, or maybe you want to listen live to the full five-hour show, you can do that on the app or the Listen Live button at redeyeradioshow.com. I'll give it to you again, redeyeradioshow.com. All right, we're going to get to your calls, each and every one. If you're on hold, you're on the air. I promise you that. And I've got something that should scare every freedom-loving man, woman, and child to death. And you know I'm not a sky-is-falling kind of guy, but this is absolutely beyond the pale, and at least 40 Democrats have signed up for it. They're supporting it. They're ready to let it go. I had to reread this thing three times. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can usually find my way around the barn in the dark by touch. This is absolutely incredible. You won't believe it, but I wouldn't lie to you. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio and your calls moving straight ahead. Like I said, if you're on hold, you're on the air. I promise you that. It's Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now live, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
Thank you so much for being along. I appreciate that. I'm Rick Roberts, in for the guys on Red Eye Radio. Let me get right to your calls. This is Jack in Nevada. Jack, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Rick, and thanks for all that you do and all these conservative talk show hosts that allow us to use you as a sounding board. And great minds think alike, but I don't feel so great right now. First of all, this had to do with Cali and their plan to give all the illegals driver's license so they can vote. And after the midterm here in Nevada, I came to kind of a realization. I checked the box I shouldn't have. The DMV, you know, you can register
sure.
to vote
yeah.
at DMV. Well, Cali's got this Underground Railroad going, and it's my belief that, you know, once you have a driver's license, you can move somewhere. Maybe the Democrats are placing them, you know, like Texas, for an example. And then they just go in the DMV, get a new driver's license, and they're registered to vote. And this has to be stopped, and I can't tell you how badly I feel that I checked that box and not sure if we can go back or not, but
well, no, you are absolutely on point. Driver's licenses are known as breeder documents. Once you get a driver's license, you know, it breeds other documentation. You may recall California Governor Gray Davis, he was up for re-election, and his idea was, and I forget the Senate bill now, but his idea was to give illegals driver's licenses. So we started, I was broadcasting in California at the time, and was working with Schwarzenegger and Reardon and a bunch of other people. We would meet every other weekend in random hotel conference rooms and strategize how to get rid of Gray Davis. Well, I don't know if, it worked out so well with Schwarzenegger, but at least we did get rid of Gray Davis for this very reason.
Well, it's just amazing to me that, you know, it used to be and probably still is, you know, the corporations and government has us so busy that, you know, it's like a turnkey kid. You know,
yeah.
we let babysitters take care of it. You know, we just let people take care of our business, and our business isn't being taken care of. And,
well, that's how we got in this mess. At a governmental sure. level, as we, I said it before, at the risk of being redundant, we were apathetic, complacent. We were fat, happy, lazy. We didn't care unless it happened on our front porch. And by the time we realized what was going on, the status quo was firmly entrenched in the nation's capital.
I agree 100% with that. And I think we got complacent on 2016 because Nevada's going to turn blue. And it's just, you know, we all have to keep up the fight. And I rarely hear anyone remind us to call our congressman, and I've been feeling terrible while checking that box. I felt like I contributed to the, this underground railroad they've got going.
Double tough to try and get the message out. This is perhaps the best time to tell you what. I'm quite serious. I'm not an alarmist. I'm a realist, actually.
Absolutely.
But when I see something, when I add two and two, and for whatever reason I can't come up with four, that's a red flag. Something's wrong. And something has gone terribly, terribly wrong in this country. I said it the other day. We are definitely at a juncture. We're either going to rein in what we can from this once great nation and try to restore that, or we're going off in a different direction, and it appears it would be socialism. First of all, thank you for the great, great call, Jack. I appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what this is about. You know, the incoming representative, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat out of New York, I was just like you. Initially, I thought, okay, this is a joke. This isn't real. She was a bartender, nothing against bartenders. She didn't know anything. But they're using her. They, the Democratic Party, are using her just like they're trying to use Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke. She said she would be a far-left outsider who would push her party toward adopting the Democratic Socialist policy, including universal health care, free college tuition, and a bunch of other things. And so far, she's kept her promise. Ocasio-Cortez has been calling, this is what it's called, she's been calling for the creation of Green New Deal. That's three words. Green New Deal legislation, which would eliminate much of the United States fossil fuel consumption. And so far, Senator Bernie Sanders, Cory Booker, and 40 House Democrats have signed on saying they support the proposal. Now, these talking points, at least to my way of thinking, are pretty broad. They've been circulating for months, and I'll be honest, I didn't think anything of it. Just another Democratic idea that was bound to run out of steam. 40 House Democrats have signed on to support this proposal. So it wasn't until just recently that Ocasio-Cortez provided any details of the proposal. Well, December 3rd, she did. She held a town hall led by Bernie Sanders himself, declared, and I'm quoting here, "This is going to be the New Deal, the Great Society, the moonshot, the civil rights movement of our generation." Now, what we know so far about her plan that 40 House Democrats have signed on to support, it would have catastrophic economic consequences. It would dramatically increase America's already skyrocketing debt. It would transform the United States into a European-style socialist nation. No, these are not exaggerations. I don't do that. The draft resolution, it would be to create a House Select Committee that would be responsible for writing the Green New Deal legislation. The primary goal among them, Ocasio-Cortez promises eliminating all fossil fuel powered electricity, closing every coal and natural gas power plant in the country, destroying hundreds of thousands of jobs related to those businesses. Well, Democrats don't care about that because then those people become dependent on government. Government can then increase in size and scope because more people are dependent on it. Even more stunning, all of this would occur in the next 10 years or less. Ocasio-Cortez expects the legislation to be completed in its place. Nearly all energy would be produced by renewable sources of power, especially wind and solar. You know what? I got no problem with alternate sources of energy. but let's get it down and make sure it works first, you think? The goal would create massive amounts of economic harm. But that's okay, because we would be socialist, and that's what you get when you live in a socialist nation. Just ask Venezuela. They've yet to provide an analysis to eliminate all fossil fuels and how that would impact. But 40 House Democrats signed on anyway. I mean, they've got Capital Alpha Partners working on behalf of the Institute for Energy Research. They found a national tax on carbon dioxide that would cost the U.S. economy $4.2 trillion to almost $6 trillion, depending on the tax level they choose, in just the first 10 years. This isn't a piece of legislation. This is a scheme by a former bartender out of New York. And I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. I'm saying, what do you think you're doing? The whole plan is to destroy trillions of dollars in wealth, but it would also be virtually impossible to achieve. If the wind's not blowing and the sun's not shining, renewable electricity generation relies on fossil fuel, right? Well, I don't know how they plan on taking care of that. You know, the radical nature of these proposals, and I'm not here saying the sky is falling, but it can't be understated. Upgrading every residence and industrial building, not just to make them more energy efficient, but also to improve comfort, safety, would cost trillions upon trillions of dollars. And it would then, but this is the most nefarious thing, it would insert the government, listen, it would insert the government into nearly every home and every business in the United States. And that's the real goal, isn't it? That's the real goal. Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal would also establish some pretty extremely expensive government programs. I mean, it's nonsensical. It's almost out of a sci-fi movie, except 40 House Democrats have already signed on. Raising taxes, got to do that. Creating public banks, running up the national debt. She claims the way to fund her far-reaching proposals is to use the same way that we paid for the 2008 bank bailout and extended easing programs. I mean, this is crazy. But it's real, and it's here. And the Democrats say, that's fine with us. As long as you vote for us, we'll do it. Unbelievable. This is Rick Roberts on Red Eye Radio.
If you are worried that the government shutdown will mean no USDA inspectors to check your meat, poultry, or egg products, you can breathe a sigh of relief. Many of the jobs performed by USDA employees to keep Americans safe are considered essential functions and will continue. For example, nearly 90% of the Food Safety and Inspection Service's 9,500 employees will be on the job. Nearly 70% of the Forest Service's 33,000 employees will continue maintaining safety at our nation's forests. Nearly 90% of Agricultural Marketing Service employees will continue their grading and inspection services, as well as procuring commodities for nutrition assistance programs. And more than 60% of Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service employees will be on hand to inspect fruits, vegetables, and birds at borders and quarantine facilities. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. They will be back with you Tuesday evening. And if you're on hold, you get your time on the air. I promise you that. Let's go to John in Maryland. John, thank you for being so patient. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. Thank you.
You know, You dropped this teaser just before the last break about the government being at fault, for most of the states turning blue and going in this direction. And then when you came back from the break, you followed it up with your last caller, and I thought to myself, oh, God, he's going to get off the subject. But no, actually, it played right into it. You can't discount how the media plays into this and their level of fault because, you know, I'm 53. I'll be 54 tomorrow, actually.
Oh, happy birthday.
You know, when I grew up, thank you. When I grew up, you know, the media was the watchdog. They were the ones who protected us from the government and didn't let the government get away with these things. And that doesn't happen any longer. I mean, the only place I saw Nancy Pelosi hold up that, you know, Obamacare was on Fox News. That was the only place I saw it. Nobody else covered that.
As a point of clarification, when I say the government, and I say this often on my own show, I do an afternoon drive show here in Dallas, the media, there is no news anymore. The media comes with a preconceived narrative, preconceived agenda, and the media works hand in glove with the Democrats. So save for a couple stations, Fox and maybe one or two others, there is no media. I've said it at the beginning of the show. If you're a journalism student, get out. Go find something to do that's real.
Yeah, I did hear you say that. But where do we go? I mean, it's unfortunate. You know, I live in a very blue state. I'm right outside of the district. And the average public that I talk to has no clue what's happening 2 miles down the road.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Baltimore is one of the just absolutely imploding cities in America, and it's run by all Democrats.
Oh, my God, yeah. And it's been run by Democrats for a long, long time, and it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Well, this is what happens when you can't, whether it's Baltimore, Maryland, or Detroit, or Chicago, or San Francisco, whatever it happens to be, these are all Democratic strongholds that are literally the most miserable places to live in the United States. Why? Because they can't get those votes on their own, so they have to buy the votes, whether it's through a special program, whether it's through, you know, funding for the arts or whatever it happens to be. They can't get these. They can't. No longer are people voting for people because they say, hey, I'm not going to take you to raise. I'm going to make sure you get an opportunity. That's the wrong thing to say. None of those cities are saying it.
No, you're absolutely right.
It's sad because Maryland's a beautiful place. It really is. But, man, you don't want to live in Baltimore, that's for sure.
No, you don't want to live in Baltimore. The rest of the state is absolutely gorgeous. You know, but Northern Virginia is gorgeous, too, but by God, they're turning blue as well, and they're getting too expensive to move into.
Well, that's true. I was in D.C. Training Fox TV people how to do radio, and it was a long whole thing. When I would fly out, I would go to Baltimore's airport. What is it? BMI? Is that the name of it? I can't recall.
BWI.
BWI. Because I could get in and out. But it just, man, you look at the way they run that city. I mean, it's almost like everybody takes a carbon copy and sends it to Chicago and Detroit and San Francisco and Los Angeles. There's a reason that those cities are literally falling down around the people that live there. And it has to do with Democratic policy.
If you didn't know the difference between the skylines, you wouldn't know that which city you were in.
Amen.
You're absolutely right.
Amen to that. John, I hope you have a great birthday.
Well, thank you. I hope you have a great new year.
Thank you so much.
And you're doing a great job covering for the guys.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And they will be back with you Tuesday night. This is the last live show for the year 2018. That's why I'm going to try to get as many on as I possibly can. And then the guys will be back with you live Tuesday night. Now, your national forecast.
A winter storm is taking shape for New Year's Eve. It will bring more heavy rain and a renewed flood threat. The Carolinas will be drenched, as will the north and the rest of the east, later on New Year's Day. But temperatures will be mild in much of the southeast in the 60s and 70s, and in the 40s in the northeast, as New Year's Eve revelers welcome 2019. Rain will spread northward into much of the Mid-South, Ohio Valley, and Mid-Atlantic during the afternoon today, while cold air and snow are in store for the upper Midwest and across the Four Corners. A few strong thunderstorms are also possible in the lower Mississippi Valley. Rain will spread into the northeast during the last few hours of the new year, and parts of northern New England might see rain change over to a rain and snow mix by late Monday. Winds will be gusty across much of the northern and central plains, and in the northeast, winds will pick up by late in the day. And that's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your calls next on Red Eye Radio.
Lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts.
And thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be in for the guys. Pleasure to be with you and borrow Gary and Eric's audience for a show. Always enjoy that. And the toll-free lines are 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. As promised, your calls, Ruth and Madison. Ruth, thank you for waiting. How you doing?
Oh, real good. I'm on a bad phone, so I hope you can hear me.
I've got you fine, Ruth.
Well, the reason I stayed on this phone, I hope you tell people about this. About 2 months ago, George Soros turned 87 years old, and he gave the Republicans and the Democrats, not the Republicans, but the Democrats, $87 billion, that's with a B. He gave it to them because he's too old. And now, I don't know for sure, but I'm telling you the truth. I swear on the Bible. And I believe they are behind these people coming here.
Okay, I'm sorry. Soros gave who did
$87 billion to the Democrats?
To the Democrats. Well, it wouldn't surprise me, Ruth. I mean, we know that there are at least three extremely leftist organizations that have already admitted they're behind it. But Ruth, the thing that bothers me the most is that the UN, United Nations, is behind it. Here's the thing with Soros. You know, I've studied him a bit. I'm no expert. But there's no way to ever connect him to anything. I mean, it's sort of like Jesse Jackson's in the Rainbow Push Coalition. He's got so many umbrella organizations. You know, connecting the dots would be just an effort in futility. But you're probably right, Ruth. I mean, to some extent, to some level, I don't know how much money he gave them, but I know they've got a lot out of the Hollywood elite, out of the political elite. I mean, it's obvious somebody funded this. I mean, you've got medical trucks, you've got food trucks, you've got people, leftist organizations out of where? Ecuador, Venezuela to some degree has funded part of this. Everybody is targeting the United States. Even some people here are targeting the United States. So, Ruth, I'm glad you waited. Thank you for the call. My grandmother's name was Ruth, by the way. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Fran in Oregon. Fran, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Fran?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thank you very much for the great time you guys are sharing with us during these days.
Thank you.
I just wanted to touch base real quick on the individual responsibility concept, that we are forgetting about it, is the most ridiculous claim I ever heard in my 54 years of age, and I come from a very corrupt country in South America, neighbor of Venezuela. I can't believe that we're blaming the government of the United States for the death of these children. I'm sorry the blinking is going to turn off. I'm just arriving here, Mr.
No, that's fine.
And your company is awesome, Rick, in the afternoon and the night. I'm just enjoying this so much, the blessing of being on listening to you. But anyway, going back to the point, is how can we forget about the individual responsibility? And as a parent of two beautiful children, I'll do anything for them, but I don't think I'll put them through 2,000 miles of hardship until you get to America. I think someone is deceiving them. And according to Ruth, I believe what Ruth just said, I believe it's a fact in that they're deceiving all these poor people, you know, and it's pretty bad that they play with other people's needs. Me being an immigrant to the United States, I can witness to that, that there's a great deal of opportunities here, but we got to do it the right way. We got to do it, by the law. So someone needs to really put their eyes on what's going on with these people that are bringing them here and tell them in lights to cross the border, thinking that they're going to get here and everything is going to be okay, and on the way, losing their children. I mean, it's too bad that the kids die, but how can we blame this administration or anyone else
well,
for that?
You see, you're using rationale. It breaks God's heart when these poor kids die. It breaks all of our hearts. But Trump had nothing to... He didn't tell those people in Ecuador, hey, march up here. The far-left organizations did. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a name that you can research, friend. Pueblo,
yes, sir.
And my Spanish is horrible, but Pueblo Sin Fronteras.
Very good.
He's he heads up a group and has headed up this group, far-left group, that has been organizing and bringing migrants in caravans either to America or Mexico. He's been doing it for over 15 years. Now, if you peel that onion back until your eyes start to water, you'll probably find some familiar names in the funding. But Pueblo Sin Fronteras is the guy that is at least conspicuous in this latest caravan. He's a part of this.
Very well, Rick. I'll follow up with that. And it's amazing how they get away with it. And real quick before we go, before I get somebody else in the line, heads up, I just heard or read somewhere about the $12.5 billion the Democrats are trying to give out to Latin America in the way of help and aid for financial aid. So instead of putting $5 billion on the wall, we're just going to give $12.5 billion to these corrupt governments for them to prevent this from happening again and make the better place for them for the Latinos to stay in Latin America.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's
absolutely horrible. It's worse than an unholy alliance, which, you know, you basically make friends with an enemy to fight the greater enemy. But this is even worse than that. You're basically paying extortion money so you don't have to deal with their people coming to this country. That's not right.
And people need to know that this is happening. This has been $12.5 billion going out to this, assigned to this to this project. I mean, $300 billion in deficit a month, and now we turn another $12.5 billion to this government for them to waste them.
Makes no sense, does it? No sense.
God bless you, sir. I appreciate all your time, and you are a really
Thank you very much as well. I appreciate that very, very much. This is Isabel in Spokane, Washington. Isabel, how you doing?
Hi, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Isabel.
You had a woman call last hour, and she said she was raised by atheists, and she turned Christian. I'm calling to say you don't have to be Christian to vote for Donald Trump. You don't have to be Christian to love this country.
No, you don't.
You have to be an individual. You have to be an individualist, and that's what I am. And I vote for individuals, and I eschew socialism, which is the opposite of individualism. And also, she said she calls people what they are. I do, too. I use old-fashioned adjectives. Caucasian, Negro, Oriental, Mulatto, Homosexual, Heterosexual. And I call people what they are, and I don't use phony names. And I'm just so happy to be here with you today, and thanks for filling in.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. Yeah, political correctness has done much more damage than any of us even realize. You can see the topography and the scars that it's left in its wake. But political correctness has literally changed the mindset, the emotional structure of an entire generation or two. And we're going to pay for it at some point.
The lone thing that's going to kill socialism is individualism, and we all have to stand together as individuals.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. And you're right. You don't have to be a Christian to vote for Trump. You don't have to be an individualist to vote for Trump. I mean, people filter, as it's comfortable for them to filter. I mean, all of us make choices based on something, whether we attend to it mentally or not. You know, as a Christian, I filter things through Christianity and through the Lord and things like that. I'm not here trying to sell that to anybody. It just works for me. The last thing I ever want is to be beholden to a man, even a preacher. I want to filter everything so that I'm not blindly following another man, because that's the surest way to end up in the wrong place. So I just don't do it. Other people filter with different variables, like you, I guess.
That's right. You have to have principles. You have to have a foundation.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Isabel, very good call. And again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you so much. All right. Listen, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the new Green Deal. You know, I never want to just talk for a number of hours, then walk away and nobody remember anything. Please check that out, will you? I mean, check that new Green Deal. 40 House Democrats have already signed on to support it. It will be the end of America as we know it. The absolute end. You think our national debt is ridiculous now? Try getting rid of all fossil fuel power, then replacing it with wind and solar. It would, first of all, if that was legitimate and we could do that, what am I doing? I'm railing against a windmill here, aren't I? Ocasio-Cortez, she was serving drinks 6 months ago. Nothing against bartenders, but who believes that you can go from being a bartender, schlepping drinks, to setting legislation that forever changes the very foundation of what a country was founded on? Does that make sense to any of you? I don't think it does. Even if you and I disagree politically, and that's fine, I don't think that makes any sense. All right. Listen, if you're on hold, I'll get to you, I promise. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
This engine report is brought to you by Detroit. The DD15 is designed to provide its peak power and torque between 1,000 and 1,500 RPMs. This fuel economy sweet spot means there isn't much more power available at 1,800 RPM than at 1,400. The only thing being accomplished is burning more fuel without any real benefit. While cruising, try to keep the engine between 1,050 and 1,450 RPMs for maximum efficiency. Also, upshift around 1,650 RPMs or sooner to stay in the sweet spot. Speed is the enemy of fuel economy. On average, every 1 mile per hour increase in road speed above 55 costs 0.1 mpg, which adds up by the mile. Cruising in the high 50 to low 60 mph range can help you get the most out of every gallon of fuel. Ultimately, traffic on surface roads and stoplights will impact travel time far more than a few mph on the highway.
For Shell Rotella, that's the engine report.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for the guys. They will be back with you live on Tuesday night. I hope you have a great New Year's Eve. Let's go to Javier in Dallas. Javier, how you doing?
Hey, Rick. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me on. Hey, no, I was just calling to kind of like answer to that guy from Nevada talking about
driver's license
allowing illegal aliens. Yeah, about the driver's license. In Texas, there's a thing changed about 10 years ago where, I kid you not, it was just about 10 years ago where the DPS started asking for requesting for social security numbers in order for you to get a driver's license. So people who have been caught trying to do this, they just go to jail.
No, he's telling you the truth. A lot of states have done away with anything having to do with social security numbers because the fraud is so rampant. Javier, have a great 2019. Happy New Year to you. If you missed any of the show, any at all, the podcast will be up very, very soon at redeyeradio.com. That's redeyeradioshow.com. I should know that, shouldn't I? redeyeradioshow.com. The podcast will be up there, and if you get a chance, take a listen. Of course, it's up there all the time after Eric and Gary finish their shows, but man, it's been a blast. I've enjoyed the week. I truly have. Brian and Alan always make my job so much easier. And then, of course, all of you as well. If you want to join me during the week, you can do that. Simply go to WBAP.com. WB as in boy, AP.com. And I'm on from 2 to 5 Central Time. That's Afternoon Drive out of Dallas-Fort Worth. Would love to have you. Just let the screener know, hey, I listen on Red Eye Radio, which we also carry on WBAP. They'll put you right through. Thank you so much. Nothing but the best for the new year. Thanks, guys, for all your help. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.